It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Felger and Mass.
Little sport dork orgy. So sporty.
Oh, yeah?
So sporty.
Oh, yeah?
Sports and sports and sports.
Oh, yeah?
Sports in your face.
Oh, yeah?
Sports.
Felger and Mass.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah? 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, we're mostly Patriots today. The quarterback thing, Brady Rogers, great fodder there. And the Gronkowski situation. Do we have a little situation there? We're going to mix in a few other things here this hour, including Red Sox. Dave Dombrowski does his exit interviews today at Fenway Park, so we'll give you some of that. Real quick, I just want to do this because this guy's been on the line for an hour. It's about the Bruins. The only thing, Murray just played the sound, so let me just... Brian in Connecticut, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I read an article today in the, I believe it was the Boston Herald, about a goaltending controversy. I don't think there's any controversy at all. Halak has played much better. Tuukka has not been the same for the past few years, I think, since he won the Vezina Trophy. And I think I don't see what the controversy is. And
agreed. I'm going to stop you there. No controversy. I agree. None.
No, but there shouldn't be, but because of the money that Rask makes. And
No. There's a whole protective net around Tuukka Rask by the guys that cover the team for some reason. I don't know why. But those are the only ones who fight it. Everyone else has seen that Rask has been mostly mediocre here the last couple of years. He's once again off to a horrible start, and the other guy's playing better. And finally, there's a coach that will just say it and act on it. Finally, thank God for Bruce Cassidy. If you're watching on the simulcast on NBC Sports Boston, you don't hear the top of the hour update. So why don't you just replay that sound again, Murray, real quickly.
Would love to. Again, fair warning to the Boohoo Tuukka crew.
I think Halak has been better than Tuukka. So he's got a few more, he's got a few more starts than we originally scheduled.
Okay, so there's one.
All right, let me pull some more here. This is, I'll go with this.
The record is good. I think it's funny because we were talking about that this morning. We're sitting there thinking we can be better in a lot of areas, yet our record is pretty solid considering, you know, three of our top six D probably.
Give us goaltending stuff. Goaltending stuff.
Yeah,
I don't need this.
They're not labeled. I don't know what
that is. Maz, you read me a quote off the air about Tuukka's conditioning or something?
Well, I played it for you. Yeah, and Jimmy, that's the one that's in Karts also. I'll see if I can get it for you exactly. But there's another one in there where Cassidy says, slow starts, Jimmy. Bruce Cassidy, slow starts.
Tuukka Rask, slow starts. Tuukka Rask, for the second straight year, really it's been a trend the last several years, is caca to start the year. He's not ready to go. Here's Cassidy.
He's admittedly said he, you know, is a little slower out of the gate. Well, why is that? So we've talked to him about the end of last year. Well, is that a factor of conditioning in the summer, or is that just part of how you play? And, you know, I don't know if we'll ever know the answer to that, but we're going to control what we can control. So we've asked him to, you know, step up that part of it so that he's ready to go in October. I mean, I don't think you want to peak in October, but you need to be on, especially in that position.
Yeah,
now, we were fortunate this year. Halak's come in and done a real good job. So we're able to allow him time to hopefully have, like his past, have good Novembers and Decembers. I think December. I know Novembers have historically been very good, so I guess I shouldn't get too far ahead of myself.
Because you never know with this guy, Bruce. But once again, Tuukka Rask not ready to answer the bell.
I think Halak has been better than Tuukka.
Not ready to go to start the year. Second straight year.
I mean, it is an interesting comment, though, when he says, you know, is this because of the summer conditioning or
so,
what? What is it?
We told him to get his ass in shape. Can I put that in the Felger and Maz translator?
Yeah.
Wake up, Rask. Get your ass in shape. The season started.
I mean, whatever you're doing during the summer, it feels to me like whatever you're doing during the summer, maybe you need to look at that and do more. Like, so they must be looking at him going home or going wherever he goes during the summer and saying, are you really actually putting in work, or are you just showing up at training camp?
You said it last week. They're a little fed up with Rask.
Well, that's what it feels like to me. Again, the comment that Cassidy made, what was it, a week ago or 10 days ago? That comment floored me. That's unbelievable.
What do you say?
When the coach comes out and says, point blank, well, no, look, you know, when we brought Jaroslav Halak in here, we didn't put a limit on the number of games he was going to play, and we're going to treat that like any other position where, you know, the guy who plays better is going to get the time. What? When you have a goalie making $7 million a year? Like, and I'm not criticizing Cassidy for it. I'm actually commending him for it. But typically, they've gone the other way with Rask. A year ago, they were saying, no, this is not a permanent thing, when they were playing Hudobin more and whatever. You know, no, we're going to get back to Tuukka. We're going to help him find his game, all of that. Not now. They're not saying that now.
Thank God this guy's here.
I think Halak has been better than Tuukka.
Okay, simple that. So there is no controversy. So there's a little Bruins breather for you. Red Sox items. Dave Dombrowski meets the media today at Fenway Park. What stood out to you, Maz?
So two things in particular stuck out to me. One concerns, obviously, the health of Chris Hale, because to me, we still don't know specifically what that injury is or what's involved, surgery, what have you. Here is what Dombrowski said.
Dave, hoping you might be able to provide some sort of update, anything you're willing to tell us and can tell us about the health of Chris Sale and what you expect regarding his health and recovery from whatever might have been ailing him down the course of this season over the next few months.
Really, what we've said about his past injury history is really all I can say. That is HIPAA law protected, but as far as we anticipate him to come to spring training, be 100%, and not without it. With at this point, without any surgical procedures, we think everything that will take care of it is just rest. So that's really where we are. But we don't anticipate anything from a surgical procedure whatsoever.
So what struck me about the answer, first of all, is that, well, we're not going to say anything more than we've already said. They've told us very little. Okay, they've told us very little. They're trying to, you know, feed us this HIPAA thing, and they've told us tendonitis. But the reality is, when you're talking about a shoulder, it's likely a fraying of the rotator cuff or a fraying of the labrum. Okay, it's one of the two. And when he says, at this point, no surgery, we think rest, he didn't say definitively. He leaves that open. So I hear that and say, well, we're going to let him rest, but then we'll see what it looks like. They let him rest during the regular season. When they pitched him again, it came right back. So to me, I'm not convinced Sale doesn't have surgery. So given where they are with Sale, how do they sign him to a contract extension? And I don't know, maybe it was Jimmy who brought this up before we came on the air. I don't remember. Maybe they're going to Sale and saying, no, don't do surgery. We want you to pitch next year. And if Sale has surgery, he misses part of the year, and it affects him in a free agent year. So it probably benefits him, too, to not go under the knife. Usually with pitchers, it's almost always preferred to go non-surgical first. Almost always. Not always, but usually. Let's rest, let's rehab, let's see what happens. So it feels to me like they're going to rest and rehab his shoulder and hope he's okay. That does not feel good to me. The other comment that Dombrowski made down there today or over there today concerned the closer situation going forward, because Craig Kimbrell obviously is a free agent, is going to hit the market. I don't think they're bringing Kimbrell back. And he was asked about what alternatives they have.
We do think that we do have a situation where internally we'd have a couple candidates to do that. Barnes and Brazier are the top candidates. They're not Craig Kimbrell at this point of their careers. But I don't think we'd go into closer by committee approach. So if it wasn't Craig, it'd be either them, or we'd have to see what other alternatives existed outside the organization.
So they're going to sniff around, I think. But to me, the guy is Brazier. Brazier's a better option than Barnes. And I, that's just my opinion, because I feel like he is better against both sides, lefties and righties. And more importantly, the number one factor for me, he throws strikes. He throws strikes. The last thing you can have is a closer out there.
I thought you were going to go edge. He's got edge.
So he's got some of that, too. I mean, that's not a bad thing either. But the big thing is, don't walk guys, don't put guys on base. Look at Kimbrel. I mean, that thing was a high wire act, for crying out loud. So give me a guy who can throw 96 and keep it in the strike zone. And I think overall, Brazier did a pretty good job of that. I'm not saying he's perfect, but I'd give him a shot. I would. Barnes, I've seen Barnes. I know what Barnes is.
This is fascinating to me, this issue. To me, this is where they have to go cheap. This is where they got to hope that they've got just a good arm that can convert and just do the job in that spot. You didn't really need a great closer this year. It turns out you didn't. I mean, so not every team needs that lights out all-time closer. You can just get by with someone who's serviceable. And I think that's where they're at. Given, again, all the money elsewhere and all the guys that have to resign, I'd rather bring back Nathan Eovaldi and pay my closer whatever Brazier's going to make, $1 million, and go that way than go on the market and find a $10 million a year closer, and now you can't sign Nathan Eovaldi or Joe. You know what I mean?
Like, yes, I mean, this is part of the reason I lean on Brazier, too. I mean, but it's a good point. Don't go blow your resources on this. Don't. And look, you know, when they made the trade.
And if you get into the year and the guy's just not cutting it, well, then you assess.
Right. Then you make a deal. Right. You make some sort of adjustment. And maybe it's hard to find. Maybe it's not. But there were a bunch of relievers that moved at this deadline. And if you want to start second guessing stuff, as we like to do, go back to that Ian Kinser trade. I mean, the guy they traded out to the Angels, Ty Buttrey, finished the year as their closer. Or as one of their key bullpen pieces in the late innings. I don't know how many saves he ended up with. But that guy came out of nowhere and came out of AAA.
Does he throw hard?
Yeah, in the mid-90s.
To me, that's the key now. It's just...
Air it out.
It's been the key for a long time, you know, but it's just apparent now. Yeah, I don't want some soft toss. I want a guy who throws 95 to 100.
So, again, I don't know. Could you have won this World Series and this gone through this postseason without Ian Kinsler?
Oh yeah.
My feeling is yes.
Yes. We could have found someone else to get picked off first, overrun third, and get thrown out at home, and then throw the game into the absolute crapper.
So I didn't love the Kinsler deal from the very beginning. But now again you're saying, well, you're short on relievers, you might have to go and get someone, and the Angels got someone in that deal that that in theory should be able to help them out. So like I don't know. And this Buttrey kid, I look it up quickly, had 4 saves, struck out 20
okay,
in 16
so
and a third.
That's the past. That's the future. To me, the closer position, I don't want to say I cheap out on it, but I take care of other things first.
Throw some crap at the wall until something sticks.
Okay, so your thoughts on those items, along with all of our football stuff, right after Murray's update. No, there's no update here. There's words from our sponsors, but most importantly, this is what I'm getting at. Free Patriots tickets to Sunday night's game against the Green Bay Packers coming your way next.
Hugger and Maz, the Sports Hub. Filger and Maz.
Oh.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I mean, I think our development aspect is something we put on pitching. And I think we have some talented young individuals. And I'm excited because there's going to be a group of arms that hit the AA level this year that we're excited about. And once you hit AA, anything can happen. But we've got guys that we really like a great deal. And so they're getting closer to the big leagues.
Why did you pull that one, Maz?
So he's talking about the kids that they're bumping from A-ball from high A to double A this year. And this is a huge question for the Red Sox. Now, I think he's trying to, you know, paint a rosy picture here. And the reality is the Red Sox don't know what they have yet. Because you don't know until you send these guys to double A what they are. So he can say, well, once you get to double A, anything can happen. Well, that's right. Good or bad. It can go the other way on you just as easily. So but the part I agree with, it's a big year for them in terms of the farm system, because this is the area Dombrowski's neglected, and all of their concerns are really in pitching. I mean, now don't get me wrong, Betts, Bogarts, we want them to sign those guys, and you know they have some contractual issues there, but if they lose Sale and they lose Porcello, and they don't have anybody really to plug into that rotation to take those spots, what do they do?
Well, I mean, simply put, there's just too much money out. To the point where there's too many guys that have to get paid that they have to have some positions that are in the system that's cheap dollars.
Correct. And pitching's usually the best way to do that, right? Because if you just keep, you know, it's hard to develop pitching. But if you do that, well, now you can spend whatever you want anywhere else. Because you want to spend on your positional players, fine. Go ahead. Sign Mookie Betts to an 8-year contract for $300 million. We'll all take that. Because as a position player, you know he's going to stay much healthier than a pitcher would over 8 years. So you're generally okay with that. But if their pitching doesn't develop, they're in trouble. And I'm talking long term now. I'm not talking 2019. Because they can generally keep this team intact, minus Kimbrel taking off and whatever.
Eovaldi.
Yeah. And so like, but even if they lose Eovaldi, right, at least you look at them and say, well, they still get a good team. I mean, Nathan Eovaldi's not the make-or-break piece, and maybe next year you find the next Eovaldi. You know, it's not as if he was this guy who had this great career that, I mean, you scouted well on him, and you nailed that one, so good, now do it again. But beyond next year, they need some of those pitchers to start coming, and they need them to start coming now.
Okay, this Red Sox stuff and all of our Patriots stuff. A lot of Brady Rogers with that game Sunday night. And again, your tickets are coming this segment. Inside of the next 7 minutes, you will have a chance to win free Patriots-Packers tickets to Sunday night's game. We're talking about that and this Gronkowski situation. Do we have a Gronkowski situation? He's been targeted only twice from inside the 20-yard line all season long. Twice. He has one touchdown. That came week one. That came the first drive of the season, I think.
It did, yeah.
That back shoulder against Houston was the first drive of the year. Since then, he has not caught a single touchdown. He's been thrown to twice inside the 20, only twice. And now
that is, it's unbelievable.
And now, according to the insiders, Tommy Kern and more, he's feeling vulnerable and marginalized. His confidence has been shaken. And he's in a bad way. Never mind, back on the injury report with a back. He misses today. So all of that. Roger wrote into me with an email and says, maybe Gronk being pliable is not allowing him to fight off press coverage at the line as effectively as he used to. Huh, this is something Sean in the car wants to weigh in on. Go ahead, Sean.
Hey, what's up, guys? Yeah, I think that training method may be perfect for a quarterback who has a whole different skill set and does not have to apply force in his roots, doesn't have to apply power, explosiveness. Gronk trained a certain way his whole life, and it resulted in the player he was. A couple years ago, he started on pliability, and his play seems to have dropped off sort of in tandem with that work.
Okay, so is the TB12 method not good for Brady, but not for a tight end?
Good question. I mean, a great question. You know, you're talking about a guy who, let's face it, one of the reasons he's a great mismatch is because aside from having speed for his size, he also just raw power. I mean, he overpowers a lot of people. So I don't know. Maybe this is the reason. That's a great point. Maybe this is the reason some of those jams are working better because Gronk can't fight him off as well because he's not as strong.
Simply not as strong.
I mean, maybe it's that simple. Like on some level, I have to believe that when Gronk started adopting this whole thing, because it feels like, remember, Gronk embracing that whole pliability and Guerrero method, the TB12 method, that's the one that seemed to send Bill over the edge with Guerrero, right? That's when they kicked Guerrero out of there. Brady's been using Guerrero forever, but once it went to Gronk, it feels like that's what pissed Bill off, right? Like, okay, now it's going too far.
Well, and we do know that they've given Gronk a hard time with it, a hard time over it. You know, they want him to squat. Alex doesn't want him to squat. Like, there's been a real back and forth with Gronk.
So maybe there is an element there of Bill saying, well, what did you think was going to happen? And now Gronk's saying, oh, my God, they were right. Well, I can't fight off the coverage like I used to. And maybe they were right about that.
I mean, how much did Gronk put it in their face in the offseason? Every other thing that he said or posted or did was like pliability, pliability, pliability. Right? Wasn't he just constantly putting that in their face?
Social media post.
Constantly putting that in their face. Both him and Jules. Constantly. So Gronkowski bought in. It's not like he, you know, I doubt he's questioning it. He's one of the Moonies. He's one of the, you know, Jonestown guys.
Right. No, I'm wondering, but maybe the fact that he can't, you know, push off coverage now makes him say, maybe I went too far.
Well, I don't know how he's feeling about it, but what we talked about before, just this whole thing with Gronk, is he breaking down physically? Is he just sort of tailing off at the end of his career because he's taken such a hellacious beating over his career? Has he changed, excuse me, training methods and whatnot, and so he's not quite exactly the same player or whatever, and did Bill sort of forecast this and have a trade for him for a first-round pick all set to go in the offseason, and he once again got vetoed. Once again, the quarterback steps in, says, you trade him, I'm gone. And then the Titan says, yeah, I'm going to retire too. You can't even trade me. And then, well, we all know what side the owner's on, so you've got the quarterback and the owner making the calls again and not the coach, who had a trade all ready to go for him for good value too, if he's breaking down. If Gronk is still healthy and still Gronk, you don't trade anything for him. There's no value for him. You can't duplicate that guy, you know. But if he's breaking down, then a first-round pick's good value for him.
Yeah. I mean, we should get an answer in the next 8 to 12 weeks,
and
right?
And this is why I wonder if, you know, people will start to pick sides, because there's obviously people that are a team Bill, and there's people like myself that are team Tom. And if Gronk ends up looking like a shell of himself, how do you not look at him and be like, you could have got a first-round pick? Bill was right. Bill was right to think about trading Gronk. Like, that sounded like heresy before the season started, but the way it's looked, like, he might have been right.
I don't know. I don't think it's wrong. You know, I question how long these three guys can stay together. We felt that way coming into the year. You look at it now, and I start to wonder, is there any real shot that, let's leave Brady out for a second. Is there any shot that Bill and Gronk are together next year?
I think they can make it work, even if they hate each other. The question now that I'm asking with Gronk that I'm not with the other two is that how much longer does Gronk have? I mean, even if Brady's taking a little half step back this year, he's still got a lot of good football in him. I'm confident of that. And so does Belichick. Does Gronk?
I'm just saying, if there's something physical going on with Gronk, don't you think he'll retire? If he was threatening it last year, don't you think he'll get to this one and go, I'm not making that mistake again?
I don't know.
Adam, I don't know. I feel like this is it for Gronk.
Adam in Framingham on the Pats. Go.
Hey, how we doing? Question for you. Derek Rivers, what's your thoughts? Why haven't they used him so much? That's really it.
Okay. I mean, should he see more time? I mean, how have you felt about Raymond Claiborne.
Adrian Claiborne.
How do you feel about Adrian Claiborne?
Disappointment.
Been mostly useless.
I haven't noticed him.
He's had two sacks.
The point where I just called him a cornerback who used to play in the 70s.
Yeah, who was good.
Yeah, no, he was good. I forgot. I forget about Adrian Claiborne a lot.
Yeah, he hasn't done much. So Rivers has gotten a little more time in the last couple of weeks, right? But again, it doesn't feel like, I don't know, he's invisible in the run game. I don't ever remember seeing him involved at all in the run game. In the preseason, he flashed a little bit, but against backups.
I mean, not to judge, you shouldn't judge it on this, but just, I'm asking, how many sacks does he have?
Who, Claiborne?
Yeah.
Two.
I think it's two.
Did you just say that?
Yeah.
I am sorry.
That's all right, Jimmy, pull it.
Sorry.
Murray wants revenge.
No, his biggest standout to me was that awful Mitch Trubisky first touchdown run. He was the one that bit in deep and that he was able to run for 60 yards essentially behind the line of scrimmage and then run in on the left side. It's because of Claiborne.
All right, I wasn't listening because I was thinking of this.
Uh-huh.
Free tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the Patriots dynasty.
Yes, Murray, I was focused on real matters at hand, the things people care about.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub.
All right, folks, we've given away the Patriots tickets. Thank you for playing. Thank you for trying. Does Jones have a pair?
No, sir.
Yeah, suck it, Jones. Too negative
of
anyway.
Of fangs.
Yeah, well, no, I was going to say, when you say, does Jones have a pair? No.
So that's it. The next game, you'll have chances to win tickets. We're always giving away tickets to everything. So don't worry about it. But we've given away the Packers-Patriots tickets. Thank you for playing. Please. No need to call anymore on the contest line. No need to call on the caller line for tickets. They're gone. So you want to call the caller line to talk sports? Love to have you. Otherwise, you're out. Real quick, Celtics thought they played tonight against the Bucks.
Big game.
Bucks undefeated.
7-0.
Celts have two losses. When we started the year, we asked, if the Celts come up short of what we think they should be, which is the NBA Finals, what gets in the way? And injuries, of course, is number one, especially with them, with Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward. So, like, that's a given, injuries. So, but with them especially, the health of those two guys. Once you get past that, we said, what, you know, infighting or...
Egos.
Ego, managing the ball, managing minutes, things like that. Like, that's going to be an impediment. I mean, let me give you one on top of that. The only thing that I can see them... the only way I can see them losing in the playoffs is if they're on the road. It's the only thing I can see. I think even if they have infighting... If they have Toronto at home in the playoffs, they're going to win. Even if they're a mess, even if they can't figure out the rotations and they can't share the ball and whatever, they're going to beat Milwaukee, Philadelphia, all these teams at home. If they're on the road, it's a different story. It's the NBA. Really hard to win in the playoffs on the road unless you're LeBron. For everybody else, makes all difference in the world. So, like, I look at the standings from day one to day 82 because that's what's going to determine who advances in the playoffs, who's home. And so that's what I look at with these teams. Like, I'd like to think you'd be able to beat the Bucks on the road, but...
You didn't last year.
You didn't last year, and who the hell knows? That league's hard. It's just hard to win on the road, unless you're LeBron. So that's what I look at, and I do. I look at the standings from day one for that reason.
Have you watched these Bucks of yours? They look pretty good.
I haven't, but it's another case for coaching mattering.
Budenholzer.
In the league, because Budenholzer, who can coach, was a coach of yours in Atlanta, gave you some problems when he was with... Beat you. Well, what am I saying? Give you problems. Beat Brad. Huh. Should have buttoned down this take before I came on.
You should have. Yeah, should have tightened it up.
Yeah, the guy who beat Brad.
That one made it move, did it, huh?
He did. He didn't just give you problems. He beat you.
No, as he was saying it, he's going, ooh, this is pretty good.
No, he actually beat Brad. That's right. He won. So you haven't even gotten past Budenholzer. So he goes from Atlanta to the Bucks, and the next thing you know, they go from one of the worst coaches in basketball, Jason Kidd, to someone who's pretty damn good. and they're 7-0. I haven't watched them play. I have no idea. I did read that they're
better at shooting the three. I mean, they got Ersan Ilyasova, who they had in Philadelphia last year. I think they hit 19 of them the other night against Toronto.
I think they lead the league in three.
Yeah.
In either percentage or shots or something. So, like, Budenholzer has modernized them. He's said,
pace and space.
This is the way we play now, yeah. Right? This is the league. So get out on the line and shoot. Where Jason Kidd, I think, didn't quite get it. And so they have to be better defensively. They have to be. And they're probably playing smarter offensively, and they have some talent. And so I don't know.
I've watched a little bit. They look much better than the team last year. So good challenge tonight. I thought there would be a threat in the East a little bit. I definitely underestimated Toronto because Kawhi Leonard looks like Finals MVP Kawhi, and there's certainly no rust there. So to me right now, they're the two threats in the East of the Celtics.
I mean, they're the only team to beat Toronto so far, right? The Bucks are the only one.
Well, okay, but...
Yeah, they sat...
Sat Kawhi Leonard that game. Yeah, but Giannis didn't play either.
And right. They sat Giannis. Isn't that the NBA? It's unbelievable. So yeah. So Giannis
marquee
had a,
matchup.
Giannis had a concussion. There was a medical thing there. But Toronto just sat him. Just to rest him.
Right, so and he's like, supposed to play tonight, though, right?
Giannis is. Yeah. But marquee matchup... Two of the top teams in the East, early season marker to see who's ahead of who. And they said, nah, we're just going to sit our best player. He needs rest. It's like, it happens in no other sport.
If that was a national televised game, then they would have both teams would have been fined.
Oh, is that right? They do that now?
Or the Raptors would have been fined for not playing Kawhi Leonard.
So I do. I want to see how Milwaukee looks, but I still think that the Bucks aren't quite on the same level as the Celtics or even the Raptors for that matter.
No way.
Antetokounmpo.
No way. So anyway, there's your Celtics minute. Okay, back to your phones. We've given away the Patriots tickets. Thanks for playing. We're back on Brady Rogers. You want to weigh in on the Red Sox stuff from today at Fenway? By all means, this little Celtics nugget, the non-goaltender controversy, because Halak's better. We can do that as well. Whatever you want. Derek in Foxborough, our buddy. Hi, Derek.
What's up, guys? I agree with you that Brady's always had the better defense. I mean, everyone talks about the Malcolm Butler play. No one ever talks about the Ty Law pick six from the Rams Super Bowl that won it for him. But Rodgers has also choked in some big games. He had a 15-1 team lose at home to Eli Manning and the Giants.
That was a bad one.
He lost to Kaepernick twice in the playoffs. I just think he's choked in some big games.
Those Kaepernick games weren't chokes. They gave up 45 points in one of them. And
I mean, in one of them, didn't Kaepernick run for like 180 yards?
So this is just what I'm talking about. You watch it from afar, and you see Rodgers losing to the Niners, and he choked. Do you have any idea what happened in those games?
I think Kaepernick ran for .180 in one of those games.
The first game against the Niners, and they never, so this is it. They never stopped Kaepernick running because McCarthy's a dumb coach and a bad coach. But that first Niners game, it was in San Francisco, the year San Francisco went to the championship, and I want to say they scored 45 points. Let me just get it for you here.
45-31.
Thank you. So your defense gives up 45, and it's the quarterback's fault. He choked. What are you, soft?
Kaepernick, 16 rushes for 181 yards and two touchdowns.
And the coach isn't smart enough to figure out a running quarterback. So the other quarterback who doesn't throw very well, you know doesn't throw very well, is allowed to run for .180. The defense gives up 45 points, and the quarterback choked. Huh, interesting.
And Frank Gore ran for 119. The Niners ran for over 300 yards in that game.
Aaron Rodgers has lost two playoff games that are on his record where his defense gave up 45. No, 51. Do you have it in front of you? His first playoff game in Arizona, I think it was 51-45.
I believe that is correct.
Now, 51.
51-45 is correct.
There was a strip sack there at the end that gave the Cardinals their last 6 points. So you want to take those 6 points away, fine. To win in Arizona that year or in San Francisco the year you're talking about, he would have had to put up 46 on the road. And he choked? This is what I'm talking about with Rodgers. You guys don't get it. And I'm not telling you he's better than Brady. Brady's better. Rodgers does not belong in the conversation with Brady as all-time great. I'm just telling you, Rodgers' team has porked him way more than Tom Brady's ever has or ever will. That second San Francisco playoff game, they lost 23-20 at home. 23-20 at home. You know what happened there? They're down 13-10 in the fourth quarter. The Packers are. He drives them down the field, scores a touchdown to go up 17-3 in the fourth quarter. The Packers defense at home in like 2-degree weather then allows Kaepernick and the Niners to go down the field and score a touchdown in .135. They gave up a touchdown drive in 1:35. San Fran goes back up 20-17. What does Rodgers do? Gets the ball right back, drives right down the field. They tie the game with a field goal. What does the Green Bay defense do? Gives up another long drive to San Fran. San Fran wins it with a field goal to end the game. And Rodgers choked? he twice brought him back in the fourth quarter. So he doesn't get credit with the fourth quarter comeback, doesn't get credit with the game-winning drive, gets credited with none of those things. He brought him back twice in the fourth quarter in that game, and his defense couldn't hold. And Aaron Rodgers choked against the Niners?
I mean, some of those Green Bay teams sound like the Patriots between 07 and 14, for crying out loud, or 04 and 14. Like, their defense just could not make a play to win a game.
The home Giants game, you got me. They gagged that. The whole franchise gagged that. Rodgers gagged that. Gag, gag, gag.
Well, at least the Giants won the Super Bowl that year.
But they lost to a good team.
Yeah.
Fair enough. We continue. Brady Rodgers, all your thoughts. Long commercial-free segment is next.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I've never played against Tom Brady. I'm glad he's our quarterback. He's a great quarterback. And he's, you know, he's won a lot of games for us. Hopefully he'll win a lot more. And we've won a lot of games because of him. But I've never played against Tom Brady. It's a different context. I'd say playing against Aaron Rodgers is very, very difficult. He's as good as anybody that I've faced. We faced a lot of good ones through the years, and that's not to take anything away from anybody else. I'm just saying the guy's a great player. He can do everything that a quarterback needs to do. I mean, once again, he leads the league in touchdowns, interceptions. He leads the league in big plays. He's thrown, I don't know, however many long passes to however many different receivers. It's not all one guy, so he's a great player.
Bill Belichick's answer to the Brady-Rodgers debate. I never played against Tom Brady. Different conversation in terms of guys we've played as good as anyone. So that's his thought on Aaron Rodgers. And this is, again, this is a good one, Maz. This is a good one. You're not going to get many more of these, I don't think. I don't know.
In fact, really, when you think about it, it really might be the last time that Brady and Rodgers go head-to-head.
Yeah, where Brady meets a true peer. And, you know, the Kansas City game a couple weeks ago, great. Mahomes might be the next big thing. And that was certainly two great quarterbacks going back and forth and, you know, great shootout, all that. But Brady, Mahomes, I mean, it's just Mahomes isn't there yet in terms of stature. And I feel like that Kansas City team is, that offense is really about that offense as much as about that quarterback. And so it's just, it's not Brady Rodgers, you know. And I don't even know if Brady Breeze would quite get it done. It's close. But I don't think Breeze has quite the cachet that Aaron Rodgers does. Not quite. And you don't play, and even then, you don't play Breeze for another two more years, I don't think. You played him last year, right? So you played the NFC teams every 4 years.
Right.
So is Drew Breeze going to be going in 2 years? Is Brady?
It'll be three more for Breeze.
So you might not get Brady Breeze again.
Yeah, and this specific matchup, again, won't happen until 2022.
I don't think you're going to get Brady Rodgers again. Unless Brady plays another 4 years or you meet in the Super Bowl, and the Packers ain't making it anytime soon that I can see, we don't treat Brady Roethlisberger the same, and I don't think we should even, because Roethlisberger, I think, has really tailed off the last couple of years, and I've just never really treated them as that, you know, one-on-one duel like we did Brady Manning or this Brady Roger. Like, this is... I guess one of the last times you're going to get a game like this.
Yeah, it's too bad when you really think about it. These guys haven't gone head-to-head more often.
It sucks.
I mean, because, again, they played 4 years ago in Green Bay, but the one prior to that, Rodgers was hurt for Matt Flynn.
Yeah.
Right?
That was the Dan Connolly 70-yard return. Remember the big fatty, the kickoff return?
Yeah, sure. So that was the 2010 year when then the Patriots get into the playoffs and lost to the Jets, right?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Because they played Tyler Pelko and Matt Flynn down the stretch instead of Rodgers.
Okay, anyway, on the Packers.
So, no, I just think that it's a rare opportunity. Again, I look at it purely as Brady Rodgers. Like, you just don't get it. Again, it's happened once in 8 years. Once more. Like, 10 or 12.
Oh, that's on the league. It's stupid the way it's set up.
Oh, that is. It's preposterous.
I think they got to change the scheduling and wait it for the good teams playing the good teams in each conference and... You know, that toughens up the schedule for the good teams, but isn't that what the league wants? Don't they want parity? So I think they want parity as much as they want variety. So what you do, your four NFC games are against the four teams that finish in the same spot in their division that you finish. So what you do, instead of playing one division every year in the NFC, you play the four first place teams in the NFC. And then this year, your NFC teams would be, did Green Bay even win the division? I don't know. I guess it would be Minnesota. You wouldn't even face Rodgers. But you know what I'm saying? You would face good teams every year.
Yep.
Minnesota, help me. Philadelphia.
The Rams.
Rams.
The Rams. And who won the South? whoever.
New Orleans, I think, last year.
Okay, whatever. Yeah. Like, you'd be guaranteed good matchups. Now, if you are a suck team, you'd play the last place teams, but don't suck. You don't want sucky matchups? Don't suck. Beat those sucky teams, get good, then you play good teams. And so that's a reward. Team that, you know, it feels like there's so little punishment for these teams that don't play well. There's a little punishment for you. You're stuck with a really, you know, unmarquee schedule until you get good. That's what I would do, absolutely.
But they should wait it. There's no two ways about it. I mean, like, how many times do you want to see Chicago and Detroit?
So, those are our thoughts on that. Got more thoughts on Brady v. Rodgers all time. We'll get to those in a little bit. Mike and Beverly, though, your thoughts right now.
Mike, how are you?
Good, Mike. What do you got?
Well, I just want to first compliment Maz on his World Series coverage. I thought you did a good job, Maz. It was a pleasure listening to you.
Appreciate that.
Job well done, Maz.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I just want to see the overhype of this Green Bay game is just getting too much, Mike. Aaron Rodgers he's good per se, but if you take the number of quarterbacks with Super Bowl rings that the Patriots played, there have been much better opponents throughout the years. And to be honest with you, there was nothing better, at least in my time, and maybe I'll see something different, than the classic Manning-Brady battles. And for that was real pro football, quarterback versus quarterback. Sorry, Aaron Rodgers, but you just don't carry Tom Brady's jockstrap.
Okay. Sorry, Mike. You don't carry Tom Brady's jockstrap. Sensitive Patriots fan there. I'm sorry there's another good quarterback playing your quarterback this week. There's really not much you can do about that. But it's true. You're not going to match Brady Manning. But that's the whole point. This is the closest thing you're going to get to it, is this. Because Manning's gone. So those games are gone. I don't know what's, you know, how much longer Brady has left to build that next thing with somebody. So, like, this is it. This is the closest you're going to get.
Yeah, no question. I mean, again, no, because it's just the clock's ticking on Brady. Told you, one of the things that surprised me about Rodgers, like, because I think of Rodgers as being, as much as his peer of Brady, considerably younger, he is 35. Like, he's getting close too now.
No, he's just, he sat on the bench for 3 years. Like, that's the difference. He's been in the league a while. He's just... A lot of these volume stats that we talk about, he's way behind because his first starting year was 2008. Brady had 8 years on him.
So I know that
7 years on
him. And I know the quarterbacks are playing later, but look at Eli. Eli's starting to lose it. What if Rodgers might not have that much time left either?
Oh, I have no faith. He's talked. All right, Jimmy, let's play one of the Rodgers cuts. We might as well. We broke it out in terms of Aaron Rodgers has become friendly with Brady and they talk in the offseason, and Rodgers has adopted some of Brady's stuff. He's tried to do some of the TB12 method. But I think there's no way he's going to be adherent to it the way Brady was, is maniacal about it. I keep telling you the story that I read that Aaron Rodgers is getting on the TB12 method and doing the same things that Brady's doing. And then I read like a week later in Page 6 in the Post that he was out in the Village at like 1 a.m. having dinner with some supermodel drinking wine. I'm like, dude, that's not on the TB12 method. You go to bed at 9, 8. Brady goes to bed at 8 in this special underwear. He doesn't drink alcohol. He's not out eating. He's not eating restaurant food. Are you kidding me? There's no way. He brings little baggies. He brings little baggies and thermoses of stuff that he's got mixed and grains and greens. He doesn't go out to eat at 1 a.m. drinking alcohol. No.
Does he wear like anti-gravity PJs?
And then he goes to bed in anti-gravity PJs. And then his guy comes in first thing and rubs them all over the place. And that's every single day. So, like, you can give lip service to TB12 method, but are you committed to do exactly what Brady's done?
He literally, like, floats above his comforter.
This volume's a little low, but once again, work with me. Rodgers admits, and this I'll give Rodgers credit, he admits he ain't going to beat Tom Brady when it comes to this.
You know, I had a great guy to watch every single day in Brett Favre, but, you know, Tommy's been at the top of his game for a long, long time, so I watched most of this.
So, Jimmy, play the next one. It's the third one.
Has Tom Brady, the way he's playing at age 41, has that kind of reestablished expectations for how long quarterbacks can play?
I think to some extent, definitely. But Tom's kind of he's an outlier. He's a unicorn. You know, there's not many like him. Obviously, what he's done in making it more public now with his diet and his workout regimen, that kind of sets a blueprint for how it was done for him. And we all have our own ways of taking care of ourselves. But I think, you know, it's a great reminder about how important diet is to your overall performance.
So he gets that part of it. He gives lip service to it, but he admits in the first sentence, no, he's an outlier. He's a unicorn.
Uni.
He's a unicorn.
Which he is.
I mean, that's why he's special, right? You know, if this was something that everybody was just going to knock off and repeat, well, then Brady's not that extraordinary. You're unique. So the whole thing makes Brady unique. I don't know. Like, there's this assumption now that all quarterbacks are going to play till the age of 41. Aaron Rodgers could be done in 3 years. That would not surprise me.
I agree with you. I mean, Eli Manning absolutely looks his age. Roethlisberger has not aged well. I don't know where Rivers is. Breeze has done pretty well, but different game, arena ball quarterback. So it's no guarantee that if you guys are going to play into their 40s, you got to put in the work. You got to put in the work. And I don't think anyone puts in the work that Brady does. That's why he's Brady. And everybody else is everybody else.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.